Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is the budget deficit ceiling negotiations. Each of my guests will give a unique perspective on the negotiations happening in Washington, D.C., and its possible impact on the future. My first guest is a former trainer of hostage negotiators for the FBI. He returns to the show to share his perspective on the negotiations happening in Washington. We'll examine what the politicians can get through to just about anybody from his latest book, Just Listen. My second guest is an advocate for HaltTheAssault.com, a group that believes there's too much government regulation in the free markets. He's concerned what the budget deficit ceiling increase negotiations may bring in the form of higher taxes and increased regulations. We'll discuss his recent testimony before the National Labor Relations Board. My third guest is an economist and a futurist, combining the most pessimistic and optimistic professions known. He'll cut through the rhetoric and explain the debt ceiling negotiations and how the impact on America and what its impact might be in the future. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Dr. Mark Goulston, is a psychologist, a consultant, a business coach, and author of the book, Just Listen, Discover the Secrets of Getting Through to Just About Anybody. The Consumers Research Council of America named him one of America's top psychiatrists in 2009, 2005, 2004. He writes a leadership column for Fast Company and the Solve Anything with Dr. Mark career advice column for Tribune Media Services. Welcome to the show, Mark. How are you today?
I'm terrific. I'm like a bunch of Americans, I'm relieved, but that doesn't mean I'm happy.
Right. Well, we're going to dive into that in some great detail because you are truly the negotiation expert. I mean, you're out there training people how to negotiate for people's lives. There can be no more really tense situation than that. And you're also known as the emotional exhale expert, you know, that emotional exhale that you feel when you feel that sense of relief. So the country, I think, is just emerging from this partisan battle over the raising of the debt ceiling and the risk limiting the country's credit rating. So if the bill passes and the country heaves this emotional exhale, as you like to put it, with the high stakes such as these, what does it mean to both parties to do more to move from the deadlock to the agreement? What does it mean for both parties?
Well, I think it means that they've dodged a bullet, but they haven't resolved a real ineffectiveness of resolving conflict. And I think we need a better way of becoming more effective at dealing with conflict. I think the eyes of the world have been on us, and what they've seen is the emperor nation, the United States, not only has no clothes, but we don't even have a way to talk with each other and resolve things. And I think we took a hit in terms of the respect that the rest of the world might have for us because we came off as almost childish in people digging their heels in, and I'm sure the rest of the world was saying, they were probably saying, what were they thinking? And I think the conclusion was, I don't think they're thinking at all. And I think part of the issue is it's what I call American hubris. And we have to realize that after 9/11, that we became part of a global community that's been afraid for its safety and security forever. One of the things that enabled us to be so successful for so long is we really didn't have any threats other than, you know, we might get a tidal wave in the Atlantic or Pacific, and if we irked Canada or Mexico, we might be in trouble. But we were really insulated from harm. And after 9/11, welcome to the world at large. And so I think, and what's happened is we need to realize that compromise is not failure. Compromise seems so un-American. Even from our roots, we never compromised. We didn't like England, we moved west. We didn't like the East, we moved further west. And I think America has to join the world and see that compromise is not defeat. Compromise is not capitulation. Compromise is coming to something that both sides can live with. And then you need to focus on the positive. You need to focus on the positive of what we've agreed to, and then moving forward, as opposed to each side begrudging each other, which I think we're still in store for with the Democrats and the Republicans.
Well, yes, I agree. The bill, if it does pass Congress as it is right now, means that we have to come up with $1.5 trillion, that's trillion with a T, dollars in spending cuts before December of this year. So there may still be a looming battle. It's just postponed till December of this year. My guest is Mark Gulston, author of the book Just Listen. And Mark, one of the things that you talked about was compromise over this whole debt ceiling limit increase thing that we're just coming through right now. You've actually got a series of steps that you highlight in your book, which I think are great when it comes to any sort of negotiation or any sort of communication. And they go something like this. You move from resisting to listening. And you said in your last answer that there were a lot of people in government who just dug their heels in and were resisting for resisting's sake. So you have to move from resisting to listening, from listening to considering, from considering to being willing to do something, from willing to do something to actually doing it. And here's the key, from doing something and then being glad that you did it and wanting to continue to do that, to do it in the future. So in what ways does the time deadline that we face of having to do this by tomorrow accelerate or exacerbate negotiations and this five-step process that you talk about?
Oh, I think time deadlines accelerate all negotiation processes. That doesn't necessarily mean it improves the quality of the resolution. It just means that if there is a deadline, neither side wants to walk away saying, hey, I dug my heels in, and I didn't agree to anything. You know, so in any negotiation, it's amazing how people will be vigorous at the front end, but then as they start to get worn down and they see the other side isn't budging, it's amazing how in negotiations, and this can be even at home between you and your spouse, that in the last 5 minutes when it seems do or die, neither person wants to walk away with nothing. And so it's in that last 5 minutes often, or last day, when people will start to agree with things. The problem is it is so exhausting and exasperating to go through the original 90% before you even get to that last thing. But something you brought up, which is in my book, especially the first stage, resisting to listening.
Yes.
My latest observation, and I have an upcoming book in which will be the lead book for the American Management Association in 2012 about really how to use positive influence to get through to people as opposed to maneuvering them. And one of the observations my co-author John Ullman and I have realized is resistance, if you can get this in your mind, resistance doesn't exist. Resistance doesn't exist. What exists is non-rational, non-functional self-preservation. So if you think someone's resisting you, unless they're just dyed in the wool, evil and bad, what you're dealing with is non-rational, non-functional self-preservation. And so what makes this whole thing non-rational? Well, what's non-rational is I think belly of the bell-shaped curve, the middle class, which used to be outweigh either end, there used to be more of it, has sagged and is now below the horizontal. And I think what we need is the next New Deal. We need another New Deal. And I think what's the focus of the people in the middle class, neither at the extremes of extreme hardship or extreme wealth, is I think there's two things. Get us a job, give us a way that we can support ourselves and our families, and give us health care so that if we get sick, we can get well so we can go back to our job. I think it's really simple, but what happens is that that belly of the bell-shaped curve has been pulled apart, and so what it feels like is the wealthy are just holding on to what they have, and talk about hubris. There's a smirkiness in there, in the way they smile about, we've got everything and we don't have to share it with you, that makes everyone nuts. And then, of course, the poor people and the, you know, the people who are always struggled at the other end are pulling at kind of our conscience. But I think unless we come up with a next New Deal for the majority of Americans, then I think it's get them working and give them health care so that when they get sick, they don't have to stay off their job too long. I mean, I it may be simplistic, but I think that's rational. I think digging in your heels the way the Democrats and the Republicans have, I think that's non-rational, meaning it's not serving that end of lifting the middle of the American people up so that a rising tide lifts everyone.
Well, I would agree with that, and I would also agree with you that jobs are the most important thing. My guest is Dr. Mark Goulston, author of the book Just Listen, Discover the Secrets of Getting Through to Just About Anybody. But Mark, in your answer there, you said that resistance doesn't exist, which I like that. That's very Zen-like. What exists is this non-rational self-preservation. So here's my question to you. If non-rational preservation is what was going on in Washington, is that self-preservation really the interest of the country that they have at heart, or is it the interest in getting reelected back into that position that is at the heart of the problem?
I think that the point is, if you're an elected official, your first responsibility is not to self-preservation. Now, granted, you have to stay in your job to represent people, but it's in the protection and the growth and helping the people that you represent. But, of course, if you fail to get elected the next time, you're not going to be representing anyone. And so I think what makes it non-rational is you're representing, you know, I think all politicians will need to realize that they're representing the interests of the entire American people. You know, and I think we need to get on that soon, because the rest of the world sort of looks at us, and the reason we really have become... We've gone from the ugly American to the foolish, stupid American.
The dysfunctional American.
The dysfunctional American. And I think Congress needs to say we represent all of America. But I think what happens is, as you say, these politicians scurry around to whoever supports their campaigns, raising funds. And the problem is, this is a sad thing. When people give you money, they feel they own you. And it's sad. So if you need money to get reelected, you implied that you're saying yes to their special interests. And it's a sad thing, you know, a state of affairs that, you know, that you can't stand up for the right thing to do for all Americans and have people who might be a tad greedy or self-serving say, well, I'm not going to give you money. I don't care about the rest of America. I'm not going to give you money unless you serve my needs. And it's sort of a sad state of affairs.
My guest is Dr. Mark Goulston. And Mark, I want to return back to something that we were talking about earlier, if I can, in your five steps, resisting to listening and so forth. But the final step in your five-step process is from doing something to being glad that you did something. And I want to return to that in the perspective of a deadline, because we just had a tremendous negotiation with a deadline of tomorrow. And if both parties have this deadline looming over them, can both parties really feel that they've achieved the fifth step, that they're glad that they did what they did? Or is it really more a case of regret that we did the best we could under the circumstances?
Well, I think it comes down to individual people and their mindset. You know, if you want to look for reasons to be satisfied with something and then move on, you can always find them. But if you want to look for reasons to be disappointed and begrudge a decision and hold on to that grudge, you can always find those too. So I think it comes down to your mindset. If you, it's really the half-filled or half-empty glass, and I think it depends on individual to individual what they do with this. I think the positive thing is, since there has been an agreement, now the possibility of putting the debate behind them and hopefully rolling up their sleeves to make the agreement work, there's that possibility. I'm not that optimistic because, you know, Americans are also, the parties seem to be Indian givers. You know, okay, I went along with that, but don't expect me to cooperate.
An interesting perspective on American politics. Mark, in just the few minutes that we've got left, I want to ask you, what would politicians take away from reading your book, Just Listen, that could help make better negotiations, better compromise in the future?
Well, I think I wanted to call the book Just Care, but my publishers correctly said, if you say Just Care, not that many people will read it. But if you say Just Listen, almost everyone knows they need to listen better, and they've been told by their bosses, you need to listen better. They've been told by their spouses, you need to listen better, especially your kids. And so I think if people can take away that the more you listen, the greater your influence, and the less you listen, the less your influence. I'm going to end with a very funny anecdote. This was a few years ago, I was walking to my office, and I passed these two buff guys mowing their lawns right next to each other, and I think they were smashed. And as I'm walking past one, they both look at me, and they say, "Hark ye, tell us the secret to peace on earth for ye to pass." And they didn't realize that I'm pretty quick on my feet. I'm a hostage negotiator. So I'm walking by the first one, and within 6 seconds, I'm in front of his neighbor. And then I look at them, and they've already gone back to bantering in their kind of drunken ways. And I said, "I have the answer." And they look at me like, "Huh?" I said, "Yeah, I have the answer to your question. What's the secret to peace on earth?" And they both look at me, and they said, "Okay, what is it?" And I said, "Listen more than you talk." And then they both looked at each other, and they looked at me, and then they shrugged their shoulders, and they say, "Ye can pass."
And we're going to have to leave it there on that amusing anecdote. My guest has been Dr. Mark Goulston, author of the book, Just Listen, Discover the Secrets of Getting Through to Just About Anybody. Mark, if people like what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
Well, go to markgoulston.com. That's markgoulston.com. I have a bunch of free resources, and if people kind of like some of my strange ideas, they can download a bunch more of them if they just go to that site and, you know, and click on free resources.
Now, that is great. My guest has been Mark Goulston. Mark, thank you so much for being my special guest. We'll talk to you down the road.
Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you.